If you have your Bible, or if you can reach for a pew Bible, you follow the scripture reading. It's Ephesians chapter 3. And this is not a very long chapter, so we'll just take the time to read it through. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. We thank you for listening. By the way, can I just say that if there are any parents with young children today, and if you want to use the creche facilities, feel free to do that. Don't be embarrassed about going out. There is the creche, the room over to my right here, and you feel free to slip out at any stage, and there is the plasma screen in there. You'll be able to see the pulpit. You mightn't want to see the man in the pulpit, but you'll be able to see him anyway, and you'll be able to hear what we're saying. Let's just bow in prayer before we come to this passage of Scripture. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your help so far today. And in this service, we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your blessing already upon us. And we just want to ask for help, O Lord, as we think about the passages we have read, as we consider the Holy Scriptures. We pray that you will speak to us from your word today. We recognize, O God, that understanding the Scriptures is not about education, but it's about revelation. Not education, revelation. And we know that we need the Holy Spirit to give us that revelation. We need him to reveal the truths of Scripture to us. And so we pray that you will help us today and help the preacher and the congregation alike. And we ask that, Lord, you will bless us in the final moments of this service, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, we're here today for Lucas. And, you know, I was just thinking about references to Lucas in the Bible, and I looked up the concordance, And the word Lucas appears only once. Once in the Bible. If you want to read it when you go home, you turn to the little book of Philemon. Verse 24, you will read the name Lucas. So Lucas only occurs once. But the name Luke occurs many times. And there's many references to Luke. And we have two books that were written by Luke. Lucas and Luke are the same person. Same person. Whenever the Bible talks about Lucas, it means Luke. And whenever it talks about Luke, it means Lucas. And you know, I was thinking about Luke or Lucas. And I was thinking about how he was one of Paul's companions. He actually stayed with Paul, the missionary, to the very end of his journeys. When everybody else had deserted Paul, Luke stayed with him. You know, Luke was a doctor, the Bible tells us. He's described as the beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4. And, of course, Paul would have needed a doctor. You think about all that Paul experienced, the persecution, how he was stoned, how he was beaten, how on a number of occasions he nearly lost his life. He spoke about a thorn in the flesh. That was something physical. So when you consider all these facts, Paul needed a doctor. And he had a doctor with him by his side. God provided a doctor. We could call Luke a missionary doctor. Thank God for missionary doctors today. People who go to other countries. And they not only bring the good news of the gospel, but they help people physically. Well, that's what Luke was. But then I began to think about Luke's writings. And we've already said that Luke wrote two of the books of the New Testament. The book by his name, Luke, the third book of the New Testament. But then he wrote the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament. And my, those are wonderful books. Luke emphasizes creation. I want you to notice that. He majors on creation. Because in Acts chapter 17, we read there how he recorded Paul's words to the people at Athens. Listen to these words. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Luke emphasized the creation of God. You know, it's important for us to emphasize creation today. I wonder, do you realize that God made you? Now, we're not just talking about the little ones. We're talking about the adults, each one of us. God has made us. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, we read, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We live in a pagan society. But Paul lived in a pagan society as well. The time that Luke was writing, it was also a pagan society. People believed in evolution just the same as they believe it today. By the way, do you know why intelligent people believe evolution? Here's the reason. Because people say, oh, intelligent people believe in evolution. That's what they hear. That is what they hear. People are always saying, people are constantly saying, you should believe in evolution because all the intelligent people believe it. That's the only reason why a lot of people believe it. But the truth is that God has created us. And even though we live in a pagan society and a society that believes everything and anything apart from what the Bible says, we need to make the message clear today about creation. And you know, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, I was just thinking about the wonder of a little baby. And here we have a little baby before us today. You think about the amazing body that God has given to this little one. Listen to these words. These are words I printed off earlier, but listen to them. At conception, a new human being begins, complete with his or her own unique set of DNA, which is present from the first day of life.
The new little person's sex is also determined from the beginning. 18 days after conception, the baby's heart begins to beat. During the first month, the baby grows to 10,000 times his or her size at conception. They move 6 weeks after conception, though the mother does not yet feel the movements. At 8 weeks, every part of the body found in an adult is already in the baby. At 11 weeks after conception, the baby has fingerprints and the fingernails are growing. At 12 weeks, the baby's lips open and close. The child can wrinkle his or her forehead. They can raise their eyes, turn their head, smile and frown. At 16 weeks, they can react to sound. They can suck, they can swallow. They may get hiccups, they yawn, and they can stretch. Although moving since 6 weeks, at 18 weeks, the mother now feels the movements. I'm sure Julie felt the movements. The baby pushes with his or her feet and head to exercise and to tone his or her developing muscles. And also to suck, and they're also able to suck their thumb. Did you know that a little baby at 18 weeks can suck its thumb? And then, of course, we have people today who say, oh, well, abortion should be allowed up to 24 weeks. It's terrible. At 20 weeks, the baby sleeps and wakes and is fully able to hear. At 24 weeks, the baby may possibly dream and can make a fist and punch his mother. I don't know whether Lucas did that or not. Julie can tell us afterwards. But friends, what I've read is a miracle. This little child is a miracle. You know, right before us today, people talk today about miracles. Oh, you show me a miracle and I'll believe in God. We've got one right before us today. What a miracle. But you know, it's evidence of a creator. It's proof of the book. It's proof that God has made each one of us. And you know, that's exactly what Luke emphasized in his writings. He emphasized creation, but you know, here's a second thought. Luke emphasized compassion. Compassion. We're thinking about love. Because on many different occasions in the book of Luke, the third book of the New Testament, Luke describes for us the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. The love of Christ. And we have read Ephesians chapter 3 today. Do you know Ephesians chapter 3 speaks of the love of Christ? Let me read the verse again. Ephesians chapter 3 and it's verse 19. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. We could think today about the breadth of his love. The breadth of his love. You see, the Bible tells us God so loved the world. The breadth of his love. The little children's chorus puts it perfectly. Wide, wide as the ocean. High as the heavens above. Deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. Now, boys and girls, here's a wee question for you. You think about this. Do you know how deep the deepest part of the sea is? Would anybody like to guess? Do you know how deep it is? It's nearly 7 miles deep. Way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's nearly 7 miles deep. I wouldn't like to try to get to the bottom. It'd be a long way down. But the love of God is even deeper. The love of Christ is even deeper. His love for you. For each one of us today. Even for an old wretch like me. You see, Jesus loves the unlovely. He loves the unlovable. His love's not like our love. You know, of course, we live in a world where people get lust confused with love. They're two very different things. No, the love that Christ has, it's a wonderful love. And you see, love is all about sacrificing. It's about what you do. Love is a choice. Love's not a feeling. I've heard people say, and we live in a nation and it's so sad, homes are being broken, marriages are breaking up. And you know what a lot of people say? Oh, well, we were in love years ago, but we just fell out of love and the buzz is gone. It's not there anymore. That's not true love. True love is a choice. What did we say at the front of the church the day we were married? Wilt thou love, honor, and obey? And we vowed that we would. You know, the vows don't say, wilt thou love this woman if thou dost feel like it? No, no. Wilt thou love this man if thou dost take the notion? No, it's a straight choice. Love is a choice. That's why we ought to stay with our partner for the rest of our lives. Through thick and thin, my, there's difficulties in every marriage. No marriage is perfect. Marriages are made in heaven, but the maintenance is on earth. And you've got to work through the rough times and you've got to, you know, persevere through the difficult times. Times whenever you feel like tearing your hair out and you might feel like tearing your partner's hair out. You've got to work through it. But let's get back to the love of Christ, because his love is far greater than the greatest love that a husband and wife have for each other. His love is so wonderful, and I want you to remember from this service today that he loves you. If you remember nothing else from this meeting today, this special occasion today, please remember this. God loves you. Now you might say, well, how could he love me? If you only knew what I've been up to. If you only knew the kind of things that I've been involved in and nobody else knows about it, preacher. No, he still loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the American writer Max Lucado. He put it like this. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Yes, Luke knew all about the love of Christ, and he emphasized the compassion of the Savior. Then finally, he spoke of the concern of the Savior. Not only the creation of the Savior and the compassion of the Savior, but the concern of the Savior, because we read in Luke chapter 19, a wonderful incident. It's found in verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. There we have the Lord Jesus Christ weeping over Jerusalem, shedding tears, crying over the city of Jerusalem. Now, when it says that he wept, it doesn't mean a quiet cry. You know how us men, we are so stoical and stiff upper lip and all the rest of it. And us men don't like to be seen crying. There's nothing to be ashamed of about crying, by the way. But here was the Lord Jesus. And this crying was a lamentation. It was a wail. Have you ever heard somebody at a funeral, a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, somebody at a funeral and their grief is so terrible that they wail? You can hear the wail of the person as the coffin, the remains, is carried out of the house. Oh, the wail goes up, and you could hear it at the far end of the village. The wail of a broken heart. That's the kind of crying we're talking about here. Jesus had a concern for the souls of the people in Jerusalem. You see, the problem was that they had rejected his love. We have spoken today about the love of Christ. But please don't make the mistake of thinking today that because God loves you, that he'll just sweep your sins under the carpet. Because he won't. You see, there's the love of God, but then there's the holiness of God, the justice of God. And sin must be punished. Evil doing must be dealt with. But God offers you his love today. He comes with his love to you today. And he says, if you will come to me by faith, I will pardon your sins. Your past will be blotted out. You'll be changed. You'll be forgiven. And you will come to know the joy of my salvation. Yes, Jesus is concerned for you today. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you today for this wonderful reminder of the love of Christ. And we pray, Lord, today that we would not reject that love. We pray, Lord, that no one in this special service will trample upon that love. But we ask that each one will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you, O Lord, for his concern. We thank you, O Lord, for his creation. And, oh, we thank you for his compassion. Bless us now, we pray, as we sing our final hymn, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.